Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here to update you on the recent work of the trustees. As you know, we had our Hong Kong session in January, and there were a series of meetings afterwards I will talk also about. During the meeting in Hong Kong, we had a number of issues, but I would start with saying a few words on strategy and funding, which is part of strategy, by the way. We had an extensive discussion there, taking stock of the situation created by the no decision by our US friends. And also, we contemplated the financial situation of the organization and the budget forecast for the next couple of years. With regard to the strategy, it is clear for us that we have to have a global approach to our strategy. And one of the priorities ahead of us is to commit to further development of IFRS throughout the world. And we've emphasized the importance of the role we have to play, namely in Asia, Oceania. We have very close discussion with Japan and China. You know, China is very close to IFRS. Japan is in a more complex situation. We also have to look into the evolution in India. So the priority is clearly to deal with the global reach of IFRS. But obviously, the big elephant in the room is the US position. So we had a discussion on this, and the position we made, and that has been presented to our US friends and colleagues recently, is that we analyze the situation which exists today as an ambiguous situation, and we think that we have to get out of this. We had a sort of dynamic that had been provoked by the Norwalk Agreement in 2002 that developed over years quite well, by the way, with a number of convergence projects that were successful. And now we are in a sort of a standstill situation where people are waiting and wondering what's next. The message we want to convey to our French, to our, sorry, this is, what do you call it? but you know, the French are less relevant in this, I guess. The message we want to convey to our US counterparts is that they have to help us get out of this situation, find a new way forward, find a new message, a new pragmatic approach to further developments, and create a new dynamic for the future, whatever the design of this dynamic. We know that we have to do this in very difficult context in the US. This is, by the way, mainly a US domestic issue, and we have to take stock of this. So try to work with the US in a more positive way. By the way, in this doing, we have been afterwards encouraged by the recent G20 statement that was last Friday and Saturday, and I will come back to this later. The second thing we addressed is the issue of the funding. Here there are two sets of slightly different issues. There is a concern with the need to stabilize, to clarify the funding system of the organization. This is something we talked about in depth, and Yael and her team will come to us in April with proposals to clarify a system that has been made complex by a series of layers that have been accepted and implemented since the early 2000. Broadly speaking, we believe that we should have a significant part of our funding coming from, in brackets, countries. This should be publicly sponsored. It is clearly, to our view, up to countries to design the way they want to contribute, but this should be clearly something which could come from countries and would be publicly sponsored. We need to stabilize a criteria for this. We're thinking of GNP, we're thinking of GNP per head or whatever. We have to work on it so that we have an objective criteria that would help countries determine what they should pay to us and then internally design the way they should organize their levies. The second part of the funding would come from the private sector. We do appreciate the contribution of the big firms. It has been said sometimes that this might hamper our independence. I don't believe it is the case. By the way, originally when the foundation was established, our US colleagues insisted on the role of the big firms in funding the foundation. So I think that we can take significant funding by the firms. What we could do is try to enlarge the funding. Today it's mainly focused on the big four, but there are also second and third tier firms who could contribute on a private basis. Maybe we could identify other private sector contributors. And finally, we would clearly identify the, in brackets, commercial, which is mainly the kind of copyrights things and the sales we can do, having in mind that we are extremely conscious of the fact that we have become an international standard-setting body that owes its standards to the public and therefore is clearly a non-for-profit organization. So commercial can help, but should be marginal, and we have to design it in a clear way. This is the broad picture. The within this picture, we have clearly a difficulty. We are confronted with a funding gap for the next years. And this funding gap is, in a way, twofold. There is an operational gap that is approximately equal to the decrease of the US contribution on time. And there is another part of the funding gap which corresponds to an effort we would like to do to restore reserves at a level which should be more consistent with the needs of the organization. Today, the needs of the organization is approximately, the amount of the reserves is approximately a quarter. We believe that we should have probably 1 year or so, and then we need to rebuild the reserves progressively. So you see that the two issues are intertwined. The issue of our relationship with the US and the US policy and commitment and the US contribution to the organization. I will come back to that later when I mention my visit to the US. But this is not only the case for the US. There are a number of countries today that do use IFRS or implement IFRS and that do not contribute to the funding of the organization in a proper way. Having addressed these two very fundamental issues, we had a remarkable presentation by one of our trustees, Doug Koo-chung, who presented the Korean experience of IFRS adoption. I would recommend, if you haven't done it already, that you access this report that has been prepared by the Korea Accounting Standards Board and the Financial Supervisory Service. It is available on our website. This was extremely interesting because it was a very lively presentation that raised a number of interesting issues, including the choice between a progressive adaptation, the big bang choice, which was the Korean one, the fact that they went beyond the listed companies, questions they raised demands, in a way, they put to the foundation to be more proactive in the future, to support new adopters and help them in dealing with the technical difficulties. We had then discussion or an exercise we had at the end of the year, where the trustee had a sort of self-evaluation process, sort of good corporate governance practice. And we talked about this, and there are a few issues that will be studied for the next meeting. I will then come to more classical kind of issues. You are you must be aware of the fact that the we signed a MOU, the ISB signed the MOU with the International Integrated Reporting Council on the 7th of February, and I did attend the meeting of the IRC in Paris in on February 12th. We had also a presentation of the final due process handbook that was published on 18th of February. I know that you will have a an in-depth presentation of this later, so I will not address this item now. We also concluded the revision of the constitution, formalizing the separation of the role of the ISB chair and the executive director, that was published on the 19th of February. And then we came to the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, which is obviously one of the major initiatives we took last year and we are implementing today. Yael will update you on that, but we are trying to deal with this in a speedy way, which, as you know, is not without any reason, as we know that the ISB will undertake the review of the conceptual framework. Our ambition was that the ASAF be involved in this from the inception. I must say that we've had unanimous support on this. Now, there are a few tricky issues to deal at the regional level to identify the representatives, but I think this initiative has been extremely well received and supported, and I very much hope that we will be able on time to set up this body that has to be considered as a working body to provide support to the ISB work. We had a presentation by Alan Teixeira on the new dedicated research capacity, and also we had a discussion on XBRL, which is a rather technical thing not all of us are perfectly aware of. The presentation made it clear that we would make a distinction between the technology which is behind XBRL, and which is something, by the way, which is not specific to the IFRS Foundation and the IASB, and the taxonomy itself, which is the system whereby the standards are transformed into the algorithm that can be dealt with within the system. And clearly, the taxonomy is of the essence and will be, for the future, incorporated as part of the IASB's normal standard setting function. I know that Alan will be more precise than me on that. The due process oversight committee, very briefly, unfortunately, Scott couldn't make it today. I mentioned the final adoption of the due process handbook. We had an update of its work. The DPOC focused on a few specific items, the main technical and controversial one being the impairment project. And also they reviewed the process for sign-off of educational material by technical staff and IASB members to make sure that this is totally consistent with the rest of the work. Finally, we had a brilliant stakeholder event with the Hong Kong Institute of Certified Public Accountants, where we had significant attendance of senior local stakeholders, a presentation by John Tsong Chung Hua, who is the financial secretary of the Hong Kong government, and a presentation by Arthur Yuen, who is the Deputy Chief Executive of the Hong Kong Monetary Authority, and I have to say a remarkable panel discussion in which Hans took part, which is one of the reasons why it was brilliant, by the way. And finally, we had a presentation by Masa Kono, the acting chair of the monitoring board at that time, on their discussions on future developments with regard to membership and membership criteria of the monitoring board. I know that Makoto Sonoda will be giving you an update on this. I just want to mention the fact that Massa has since been confirmed as the chair of the monitoring board for the next 2 years. Before I stop, I would like to say just a few words on the meetings we had since this meeting in Hong Kong. We had a meeting with the monitoring board where Yael and me made a presentation of our work, and also a discussion with the SEC, Elise Walter and her staff. And I had a personal discussion with Massa. And then we, last week, made a trip to North America, where we had, Yael and me, the opportunity to have meetings with the FAF, together with the members of the executive committee of the Board of Trustees. That was on Monday evening. Then we had a meeting on Tuesday with the SEC, also with the US Treasury. And then we visited the International Monetary Fund and met with Mr. Vignals and Christine Lagarde. And finally, we visited Mark Carney in Ottawa. As you know, he chairs the Financial Stability Board. These two last meetings were part of one of the orientations we had decided upon in Hong Kong, which was to enlarge the scope of our discussions to our leaders and explain to our leaders that we cannot deal with some of the tricky difficulties ahead of us without their support, and this is the reason why we visited them. I have to say that all these meetings went extremely well. They were, I think, very useful. I wouldn't say that they were all productive at that stage, but we were not expecting solving all the issues in such a short period of time. With the U.S. Foundation, we have restored a very friendly and productive relationship. We will work together. Now, without insisting on the situation in the U.S., it is clear that the domestic concerns play a major role there, and that possibly the orientations of the G20 are sort of lost in translation between the statements made at the top and the fact that things are a little more difficult to implement in the field. May I just remind you of the statement made by the finance ministers and central bank governors in Moscow last week. I quote, "We note with concern the delays in the convergence of accounting standards to date and ask the IASB and the FASB to finalize by the end of 2013 their work on key outstanding projects for achieving a single set of high-quality standards," end quote. So we reminded this to our friends and said to them, we have again to get out of this ambiguous situation where we are and restore a sense of direction for the rest of the world. I have to say we've been encouraged by the comments made by our friends at the SEC, although we have to recognize that the situation at the SEC today is not optimal from our point of view, both because of the issues related to the change in the leadership and the staff, and therefore there is a sort of sense of wait and see in such a situation, which we can understand. And also another issue is the overwhelming task that the SEC is facing with regard to the Dodd-Frank implementation and extremely difficult questions that, as you know, raise a number of tricky discussions within the U.S. Nonetheless, the tone of the discussion and the sense of direction was very positive, and by the way, Elise Walter had sent a letter to both Jeff Diemaia and me to encourage us to go in the good direction during our meeting. Finally, it is clear that the U.S. Treasury hasn't changed its view, and that, by the way, they have signed on the G20 repeated commitment to a single set of international standards. They know what are the local difficulties, and obviously they do not have the decision in their hands, because it is clearly at the level of the SEC that things will evolve. Finally, both Christine Lagarde and Mark Carney have been made aware of the difficulties we are confronted with, and have clearly supported our work and our development, and they told us that they would do their best to support our future development. Having said that, I will stop here. I haven't attended the speech that was made by Michel Barnier in New York. I know that there were some reactions with regard to this speech, but I wasn't part of this meeting. And I think I will stop there and be ready to answer your questions, if any.
Thanks, Michel. Any questions or comments? Charles.
Michel, a question and a comment. My question is, what is the main objective arising from the MOU with the IARC? And then the comment I made earlier in reference to the fact that Australia is hosting a G20 meeting next year. The Australian government has set up a business forum with the acronym B20. The managing director of a company in which I'm a non-executive director is the chairman of that forum. And already the Financial Reporting Council in Australia has written to him asking that IFRS adoption as the international accounting standards be put on the agenda. So it's an issue that we don't want to see go away. And in a sense, the more requests for that, the more likelihood is that that will be part of the business agenda that is then presented to G20. But my question is, what is the main objective from the MOU with the IARC?
On the MOU with the IARC, I will probably leave it to Hans and Ian, because they are more involved in the technicalities of it. What I understood from my meeting with them in Paris is that their ambition, which has been ongoing for some time, by the way, and where we participate, we have already been working with them in a very close way, their ambition is to try to design a template whereby the different items that should be addressed in the reporting from listed companies should be organized in a way that would favor both comparability and consistency, and also comprehensiveness of the reporting. So they look into different items, one of them being financial reporting. This is an extremely ambitious objective. It raises, obviously, questions of process and also questions of substance. When we know that when we address financial reporting, we have clear criteria, references, even if there are different references in the world today, there still remain clear criteria and references. When we're talking more qualitative things like human capital or environment or that sort of things, we know that this is still a matter of huge differences between countries, huge cultural specificities, and possibly political divides. So I guess we have to be very careful in the way we address this. And by the way, my feeling is that at that stage, they are still thinking about the possibility to do it. But if they do so, it will clearly be a great improvement for the investors and for the market at large to be able to make sure that the relevant issues have been presented in a proper way. So I personally, and speaking on my behalf, delivered a presentation there, and I did support and encourage clearly, as we do, by signing this MOU, but I also identified the hurdles ahead of them, if I may say so, and I will stop there. On the second one, I think you are absolutely right. We probably need to get support not only from the accounting profession, but from the business, and possibly this is something we have to look into in the U.S. today and in other countries, having meetings with them and trying to better understand their views and their needs. So I think the Australian initiative is extremely welcome, and we very much hope that it will provide support to our own activities. Thank you.
Just add briefly, Paul. Michelle's covered it very well, but we've been on the council of the IRC for a few years. Hans is the member I generally attend. As you know, they're in a stage of having built a tentative framework and they're testing it. This year they're doing a lot of governance things, I think quite good governance things in their own organisation. And I compare them to be at a stage that we were in about 2001. They've got a lot of things to do. But we obviously have a mutual vested interest in getting the right answers on these things, and so we felt we're better being involved and expressing our support, us for them and them for us at this stage. But the real test will come in a year or so's time when they've done their testing, when they've got the framework, and then their really hard job's going to be, if they do come to the conclusion they've got something that can work, getting out there and getting countries to actually adopt it will be, I think, a very long process.
Did you? Sorry.
Norbert,
sorry.
Yeah. Michelle, regarding the US situation, you mentioned that we should find a way coming out of the difficult situation, and you spoke with them, but your statements were very general and on a high level, so do you have already further concrete steps in mind how we could really find a way to come out of that, or are there any actions planned for the next or this year to really see a way how we could settle that?
Well, I guess today the answer is no. Let me be a little more specific while being very, very prudent and very careful. We have to be aware that the situation is in the U.S. is not an easy one. Here is a securities regulator who changed chair a few months ago. The new chair now knows that she will not be in her position for a very long time. The nominated chair has not yet been confirmed. A few heads of departments have left. So this is an organization that has a number of internal issues to deal with, and we have to be aware of this. So I don't think, although we maintain our pressure and we talk to everybody we can talk to, I'm not sure we will see a decision in the near term. I mean, if I were respectfully in this position, I would probably consider that this is so important that I have to wait for some kind of stabilization in the governance of the organization. This is one. The second one is the steps that can be made. Well, there is one step which is, to my view, significant, and we are expecting that this step will be made, which is the commitment to ASAF, which is an ongoing process. This will be debated in the next days or so, as you know, and we very much hope that our U.S. friends will join, because we are convinced that we obviously need their contribution, and we want to work with them in a very friendly, technical, and efficient way. So this is something that will have to be decided in the next days or weeks. Then the design of a way forward is a tricky thing. And here I will, if I may, just say a few words on my behalf. I'm not sure everybody would share what I will say. Because there, you have on the one hand an ideal position. In a way, what Korea did is the ideal position. We endorse IFRS full point. And on the other hand, you have the no adoption. And in between, you have a series of intermediary situations that you can judge positively or negatively according to your approach to this issue. Now, to be candid, even if you consider Europe today, Europe has adopted IFRS for consolidated accounts of listed companies on regulated markets, with a small carve-out, as we know. But Europe is considered as, and rightly so, a full adopter of IFRS for listed companies. May I remind you, by the way, that the original purpose in 2000 in Sydney was to have international standards that might support cross-border listings and could be recognized internationally. We've made a huge progress from that point of view, if you look at the reality of the situation in the major markets. So there are different ways to address this. Take Japan. Japan has authorized not only for cross-border listings, but also for domestic companies. And the number of companies that are moving forward is growing. This is, to my view, a sense of direction. Now, with regard to the U.S., I cannot think on their behalf, and I wouldn't dare. But I believe that there is a way for them to show the rest of the world that they are committed. And this is something we need to have, other than a message where they say, we will make a decision by 2011, and then no decision. And then the report, no proposal. This is something we have to get out of. This is something we need to change. And I believe it is really up to them to find this kind of transition. But I cannot say more on that.
Any other comments or questions of what Michelle has reported? Appreciate your candor and sharing your views.